Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
The fact that you're listening to this radio broadcast today is really not an accident. If you're saved, this sermon will be a stark reminder to you that people who refuse to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior die and go to hell. In other words, they need to hear the truth of this message from you so that they can make an informed decision concerning Jesus Christ. If you're not saved yet, then this message is particularly addressed to you because you need to remember that when you get to hell, I told you so. Now, I don't say that gleefully, but rather provokingly. We want you to do something about your condition before it's too late. If you die without Christ, you're going to meet some people in hell, and they're going to wonder why you didn't consider their account in the Bible. Why you didn't consider what happened to them. Why God gave their story, which is very much like your story. For instance, if you die without Christ, you're going to meet the rich man and his brethren, his brothers. Luke chapter 16. Verse 19, people have said this is a parable. It's not a parable. Nowhere does it indicate a parable. And think about this. Parables are earthly truths that illustrate spiritual truths, and the parable is true. And the spiritual truth is true, and generally the parable is more understandable than the spiritual truth that it is being used to illustrate. It's something that is easier for you to comprehend. If Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 31 is a parable, it stands as itself true, and the point it illustrates is generally something that is even more than what you're reading in the parable. And I'm going to ask you, if this man is tormented in flame in hell, and he is stuck there for eternity, what besides the truth of hell is it trying to show you? And I'm not asking you to give some wild Jehovah's Witness type interpretation to this particular parable like I've heard elders in their church give before. This is talking about fire. It is talking about a man's eternity. It is talking about eternal separation from God in fire. This man, the Bible says in Luke 16, 23, winds up in hell. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, the man that he wouldn't feed outside his gate. This man is tormented. This man is thirsty. This man is crying. This man is eternally separated from those who are saved. And he says in verse 28, I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said, if they will not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You know what this rich man had done? He neglected Moses and the prophets. You know what his brothers did? Neglected Moses and the prophets. Listen, if you will pick up a Bible and read it and believe what it says, it will lead you to Jesus Christ and his salvation. If you will go to a Bible preaching, gospel preaching church, you will hear the gospel. to which you can respond by trusting Jesus Christ. Many times I've given Bibles to people, and on occasion I have the opportunity to be able to follow up with them and find out what happened. And, you know, invariably, if a person will faithfully read that Bible with the purpose of finding Jesus Christ, they find him. We had a Japanese exchange student, and I told her, just read your Bible every night, pray, and ask God if he's real to reveal himself to you, and if heaven is through trusting Jesus Christ, for him to show you that. She'd keep coming to church, and she would read her Bible every night. Months later, she was in the kitchen of our house crying, and I asked her what the problem was. She said, I don't want to go to hell. I said, whoever told you you would be going to hell? She said, the Bible. I said, what do you want to do about that? She said, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I said, did you get that from the Bible? She said, absolutely. Each night before she'd gone to bed, she would pray and ask the Lord to reveal himself to her if he was real and to show her how to receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she did. She did. Now listen, if you neglect to hear the gospel, like this rich man did, and like his brothers presumably did, you will wind up in hell with these guys. And the rich man will say to you when you see him, I tried to warn you. I tried to warn you. I tried to warn you. Listen, you're going to meet this man and his brothers in hell if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. But that's not all. There's somebody else you're going to meet in hell if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's found in Luke chapter 18. Verse 18, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? We call this man the rich young ruler when you read his account in Matthew and in Mark. And here you find out that he's rich, he's young, and he's a ruler. Okay? And he's asking the right question. Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord told him that he's to keep the commandments. He replied to the Lord in Luke 18:21 and said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Then the Lord said, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. They heard that. They said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. This young man trusted his riches. And when you trust your wealth and you trust your possessions, you won't trust the Lord. The reason is that wealth obscures faith. I mean, if you've got everything that you can pay for and still have money and possessions in the bank, you know, how are you going to, you know, trust Christ for your provision? You can buy everything you want and stuff that other people want. A friend of mine many years ago would not trust Christ for the longest time. But you know what? After a period of time, we'd witnessed to him on several occasions, prayed for him for a long, long time. I say this all went on for about 2.5 years. And you know what happened? He lost about half of his wealth. And when he realized that, he woke up one morning and told his wife, I need to get saved. And right there beside their bed, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know what happened? God began to erode his faith in his riches and showed him how vain they were, how they could be here today and gone tomorrow. And I'm going to say something. If you trust your riches and reject Jesus Christ, you and this rich young ruler are going to regret your losses for eternity. Why? Because you will lose your fortune. You can't take it with you. And you will lose your life. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It's a tragedy. But people today who have a lot of wealth, they become snobbish at their wealth. They look at somebody that wants to preach the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as, you know, I don't know, a buffoon. And many times, not all rich people, of course, but many times people with a lot of wealth turn their nose up at the Lord Jesus Christ, like, I don't need that. And I'm going to tell you, if you do that, you will wind up in hell. And when you do, you'll meet this rich young ruler. And y'all can sit there and try to console each other and think, boy, what fools we were. The greatest investment that was ever made and the greatest opportunity for gain we ever had didn't cost us a dime. It cost Jesus Christ everything, and we turned our back on it. What a terrible, terrible loss. But that's not all. If you wind up in hell because you've rejected Jesus Christ as your Savior, not only are you going to meet the rich man and his brothers and the rich young ruler, you're going to meet Caiaphas. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 57, or beginning with verse 57, we read about Caiaphas. Caiaphas is the high priest that had the opportunity to hold a trial of witnesses attempting to accuse the Lord Jesus Christ of something for which they could turn him over to Pilate and have him crucified. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 57, and they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. And then they bring in the witnesses and so forth and so on. And by the time they get to these witnesses, they still don't agree. And so what Caiaphas did is he asked Jesus Christ straight up, I adjure thee, in verse 63, by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. That's a true statement. Then the high priest, that's Caiaphas, verse 65, rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? And behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? And they answered and said, he's guilty of death. He is guilty of death. Now I'm going to ask you something. Do you have any idea what it was that drove Caiaphas away from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and being saved? You know what the problem was? He was blinded by religion. He was blinded by religion. You see, motivated by envy and constrained by his religion, he rejected Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You may not realize this, but religion is the number one opponent of salvation, the simplicity of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ alone. You say, well, why is that? They mentioned his name. They have crosses and pictures and crucifixes and paintings and scenes and all those kind of things depicting Jesus Christ. Why would they be his biggest opponent? The reason is simple. Religion teaches that you must do something to make yourself acceptable to the Lord so that he'll give you eternal life after you die. But you have to continue to appease the Lord until you die, or else you won't make it. I mean, it's a perfect setup, a perfect religious setup to keep you under the control of the church and under the control of the priest. But I'm going to tell you something. You will miss heaven by keeping those religious dictates, because the work of salvation was completed already by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and rose again the third day. His righteousness is obtained by faith, not by works. You know what's going to happen? If you reject Jesus Christ because of your religion, when you get to heaven, your first sight of Caiaphas, you're going to realize how wrong you and how wrong your religion were. It's going to cause you a great deal of consternation. Because listen, I don't doubt that you keep the dictates of your religion just as very, very faithfully as you possibly can, trusting all along that what you're doing, God would find very acceptable because you're devoted to what you do. And truly, you can't see how God would send somebody like you to hell. But the truth of the matter is, if you neglect salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, that simple trust, like a child, Jesus said, then you can't make it. You've rejected the one provision that God gave for your salvation. And it's tragic. When you see Caiaphas down there, it'll all come clear to you. Our religion blinded us. I'll tell you something else. If you die without Christ, you're going to also meet Felix, Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. You're going to meet Felix. Now, Felix is one of the fellows that, he's actually the first one that got to keep Paul for any length of time, for a couple of years, as a matter of fact. And in verse 22 of Acts chapter 24, Felix heard these things, having the more perfect knowledge of that way, speaking of Christianity, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul. Now verse 24, after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He hoped also that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. You know what Felix's problem was? He just kept putting Paul off. He just kept putting Jesus off. Why? The Bible says that Felix waited for a convenient season to receive Jesus. But you know something? Receiving Jesus Christ is never convenient. Because once you do, his desire is to take over control of your life through your willing surrender to him, and that's not convenient. You see, things are going to change when you get saved. Felix, the Bible says, was willing to listen to Paul, just like many are willing to listen to the gospel from time to time. But at some point, you need to be born again. Poor old Felix ran out of time. And you will too if you keep putting this decision off. You know, there are two people I remember to illustrate this point. One fella had been a member in good standing of a Baptist church in his town for 30 years. And you know what? He was lost. And we knew it. A fella and I went to visit him and we preached to him. 3 months later, two other guys went to preach to him. 3 months later, two other guys went to preach to him. And I'm going to tell you something. During that period of time, he got under so much conviction, he went back to his pastor and he settled that thing with Jesus Christ. A member in good standing of a Baptist church for 30 years, you know what? He just kept putting off salvation. But boy, when he finally got saved, he said to us, I don't know why I put it off so long. Had another friend named Heath, last name Heath. He was a truck driver, and I'd go by and see him. I bet I visited that guy a dozen times over a two-year period. You know what he'd say? I'm just not ready yet. I'm just not ready yet. And if nothing changed between the last time I saw him and the time that he died, that poor fellow's in hell today. You say, why? He kept putting the decision off. Listen, your time will suddenly expire. And when it does, there you will be with Felix crying out, why did we keep putting this off? And I'll tell you, it'll be too late. Too late. Time runs out. There's not a convenient time to receive the Lord. But that's not all. If you die without Christ, you're going to wind up in hell. And when you do, you're going to see Festus. Festus. Look with me in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and look at verse 22. Festus. He's one of the two that Paul addressed when he was addressing Agrippa. Paul goes on to say, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both the small and great. He's doing it right there, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, verse 24 said, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. You know what Festus's problem was? He was a skeptic. Festus thought, through the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Paul was mad. And as a result of his skepticism, he rejected the preaching of the gospel. Now, education will make you a skeptic. Like Bob Jones Sr. said, it's okay to get an education, just don't let the education get you. Okay? Solomon said it this way, Cease, my son, to hear the words of instruction that cause thee to err from the words of knowledge. Education can give you pride, and pride will make you a skeptic. False teaching, hypocrisy. Numerous other excuses often result in skepticism. Whatever it may be, evolution, that whole scientific, false scientific theory that's never been once proven by scientific demonstration. Oh, you see adaptation. You see changes in species in this time that we're talking about right now. But I'm talking about there's no answer in evolution for the origin of life, just hypothesis and theory. And it violates that very tenet of science called the law of biogenesis, that life comes from life. Evolution does that without an explanation for the origin of life. And it makes a skeptic out of people when we say God created you. I'm going to tell you something. When you refuse to believe the gospel, you know what the Holy Spirit does? He reproves you of your unbelief, like he's doing right now. And if you don't repent, you will wind up in hell. And when you do, there you and Festus can compare your philosophies of life and wonder for eternity where you went wrong. But that's not all. When you get to hell, you'll also find Agrippa. In Acts chapter 26, in verse 26, the king that Paul was speaking to, Paul says, For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa was almost persuaded. He'd heard the gospel preached. He knew the prophets. And was even aware of the account of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Yet he came to the precipice of salvation and stopped short of getting saved. Almost, the hymn says, but lost. Now listen, you cannot stop short of salvation and be saved. If you do, you'll wind up in hell. And once there, you and Agrippa will be screaming throughout eternity, I believe, I believe, I believe. But it'll be too late. Why? Because now is the day of salvation. Now, right now, right now, under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, under the reproof of the Spirit of God, under the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is when you need to decide. Not a more convenient time. You don't need to answer any more of the criticisms of skepticism. Skepticism was designed by sinners on the way to hell to take others with them. You don't need to come up to it now and say, you know what, I'm almost persuaded, but... You don't need to be counting up your coins and say, well, if I get saved, what do I need to get saved for? I've got all the money I need. Well, you don't need to say, well, what you're teaching is contrary to what my religion teaches. Of course it's contrary to what your religion teaches. Jesus didn't come to set up a religion. He came to establish a relationship with any person who would put their trust in him so that he could, by your salvation, make you an adopted child of God and a joint heir with him. Filled with the Spirit of God so that your life would change. Religion cannot do that for you. It doesn't even preach that. What religion offers is a way for you to feel good about life until you die and then scorch you to death in hell. Your wealth, your religion, your neglect of the Bible, your putting off of the Lord Jesus Christ, your skepticism, your almost persuasion, your just plain reluctance that keeps you from trusting Jesus Christ, these are the things that are going to put you in hell if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you get there, you're going to be in the company of a world full of people who put off trusting Christ for the same reasons. And then you're going to cry for eternity that you didn't get saved today after hearing this message. You're going to say, why didn't I do it? Why didn't I do it? Why did I put it off? But unfortunately, these folks that you meet in hell will be no comfort to you at all. And you know something? When you get there, remember that I said to you at the beginning of this message what I'll tell you again. I told you so. I'm not saying that to boast. I'm saying to you, I hope you're provoked. I never like it when somebody can say to me after the fact, I told you so. And I say it to you now for the simple reason that now is the time to do something with Jesus Christ. He died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again to prove that the eternal life he is offering is real. Your sins have been paid for on Calvary. And by putting your simple faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, you can be saved. What's holding you back? Skepticism? Reluctance? Wealth? Inconvenience? Religion? Neglect? What is it? Whatever it is, as the old saying goes, get over it. Get over it. And get saved. Now listen also. Perhaps you've heard this message today and you are saved. Well, then those people that you know who neglect and trust their wealth and deceived by religion and find this inconvenient and are skeptical and are reluctant to get saved, they still need to hear the gospel. You still need to try to bring them to Christ. Because listen, once they get to hell and they're in the company of Agrippa, Festus, Felix, Caiaphas, the rich young ruler and the rich man, they ain't going to like that company. Not nearly like they'll like us. Tell them about Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.